All right, good morning. So today's daf is Ayin Zayin. We're going to pick up 77. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Ayin Vav on the base. So we left off 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Actually, the first of the wide lines on the bottom of Ayin Vav on the base. So the Gemara is going to quote a series of pesukim from Daniel. So remember, again, the Gemara introduced us to Daniel yesterday by speaking about the fact that the Rechitza and Sicha, the concept that abstaining from Rechitza and Sicha is a din in Inui, the Gemara suggested actually came from Psukim in Daniel. So now that the Gemara introduced Daniel, the Gemara is going to go into this in a little bit more greater depth. Mai Va'ani Basi B'dvarecha. What does it mean when it says, remember yesterday we quoted that the Malach Gabriel said to Daniel, I have come as a result of your words. What does that refer to? Haino Dichziv V'shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. There were 70 men from among the Jewish people. And I will say, what's described over here is a vision that Daniel had. These events did not actually occur in true reality, but this is a vision that he had. So what's the vision? He saw in his vision 70 men in Misikne Yisrael. V'yaoz Neyahu ben Shafan, Omei B'sofam, Omdim Lifneyem. And Yaoz Neyahu ben Shafan is standing among them. V'ish Maktaraso Biado. And each man is holding his fire pan with his kisores, and the cloud of kisores ascends. A form of a hand stretched forth towards me. And it grabbed me by a lock of my hair. And a great wind took me between the heaven and the earth. Vatavo osi Yerushalayim b'maros Elokim, and I was brought to Yerushalayim in a vision of God. So again, what Daniel is referring, is describing over here, is a vision he had by which a hand came out from heaven and lifted him and took him by the hair to Yerushalayim. What did he see when he was Yerushalayim? A Pesach Shara Penimis Haponet Safona, and it took me to the inner gate that ultimately is facing towards Safon, towards the north. Asher top of Ayin Zayin, Asher Sham Moshav Semel Hakina Hamakne, and it was there that I saw a symbol of the provocative image. Again, we'll discuss what this means in just a little bit. Vayaveo si al chatzar beis Hashem hapanimis, and this hand, this angel brought me to the chatzar beis Hashem hapanimis, to the inner courtyard of God. Vehine Pesach heichal Hashem beina ulam ubeina mizbeach. And when I came to the entranceway of the Heichal, between the Ulam and Rabbos, the Ulam is the large antechamber and the Mizbeach, so I saw there were 25 people there, 25 men. Their backs were turned to the Heichal of God. But their faces were facing east. And they were bowing in an easternward direction towards the sun. So the Gemara pauses here for just a moment and says, from the fact that the Pasuk says that they were facing east, again, if they're facing east, do I not know by definition that their backs were to the Heichal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Elama Talmud Lomar, but rather again, what does the Pasuk come to teach us? Acharei al Heichal Hashem, what does it mean that their backs were towards the house of God? Melamed Shayu Porin Atzman teaches us that they uncovered themselves, Vahayu Matrizin Klape Mato, and they were defecating opposite the Heichal Hashem. I will say, obviously, this is Daniel's vision in which he's trying to see ultimately why, in which Kadosh Baruch Hu is showing him why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. How the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and the general disregard that the people exhibit towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, I will say, when the Jews come back after 70 years in exile, a very small remnant comes back to Eretz Yisrael. Most of the people stay behind. The Levim are virtually non-existent. That's why, again, interestingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away Maaser Rishon from the Levim and gives it to the Kohanim. Levim are virtually non-existent, and intermarriage is just off the charts. So this is the image that Daniel is seeing. I will say our shir today is sponsored by Ed and Iris Miller. In the zechus of a refuah shlema for Chaim Yosef ben Basya, we hope that in the merits of our Talmud Torah, we have a complete and enduring refuah. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMichael. So God says to Michael, Michael, sarcha umasecha. He says, Michael, your nation has ruined itself. Sarcha, it's become disgusting. So we'll say, so understand a couple of things. The angel Michael, Klal Yisrael, the nations of the world, each nation has its own ministering angel. Klal Yisrael does not have a ministering angel because the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself involves himself in our day-to-day details. That being said, Michael is one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right-hand angels, so to speak, who takes care of many of the needs of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michael, Michael, your nation has corrupted itself. So Michael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand that many of them are not so great, but there are many of them who are righteous. Let the ones who are righteous save the collective. Amarlo, Mr. God responds, Ani sorif osam ulutovim shebahem. So this prophet says, I'm sorry, I'm going to destroy everyone, the righteous as well as the wicked. Miyad v'yomer li'ish levush habadim. Immediately he said to the man who was dressed in linen. Now who is the man who was dressed in linen? Look at the top Rashi and the daf levush habadim. Hu Gavriel b'sefer Daniel. This is the angel Gavriel. So remember again, the Malach Michael was just told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was going to go ahead and destroy the Jewish people. And now he says to Michael, the man who is dressed in linen, Vayomer bo albenos legalgal, al tachas lekruv. Go to in between the galgal. Again, we'll discuss what this means. Underneath the kruvin, umale chofnecha gachale eish mi benos the kruvin. Fill your hands with coals of fire from between the kruvin, uzrok ala ir, and throw it upon the city. So we'll say this image is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Michael to go to Gavriel. Gavriel, it sounds like, is standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and get from Gavriel coals and throw those coals over Yerushalayim. And those throwing the coals over Yerushalayim represents destruction of Yerushalayim. What happens? Vayovo le'inai miyad. So Daniel says, I saw this whole thing. And what happens? Vayishlach hakruv es yado mibenos hakruvim, Elo'ish asher benos hakruvim, Vayisa vayitein el chofni levush habagadim, Vayikach vayetze. So we'll say what happens. So interestingly enough, so Michal goes, he goes to Gavriel. Gavriel takes the coals in his hand and pours it into the cupped hands of Michal. So what's interesting over here is Michal himself was commanded to go and take the coals, but instead what ends up happening is Michal asks Gavriel to pick up the coals and hand them and pour them into Michal's cupped hands. So Gemara says, what's the pshat? Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chasida, El Molei lo nitztanenu gicholim miyado shel kruv, liyado shel Gavriel, lo nishtayru misonehen sheyistrel sardu pot. So we'll say, listen to what Michal did. Michal did not pick up the coals himself. Rather, what did Michal do? Michal asked Gavriel to go ahead and please scoop up the coals for him and pour them into his hands. So we'll say, now what does that do through that extra step in the process? It cools down the coals. So the Gemara says, were the coals not cooled down, there would be no remnant of the Jewish people. Meaning Michal employed a little bit of subterfuge over here in order to get everything to cool down just a little bit, so there shouldn't be total destruction. Uksiv, Vehine ha'ish levush habadim, asher akases b'masnav, meishiv davar lemor, asisi kasher tzivisani. And now the man dressed in linen, who is ultimately the sard, excuse me, who is, asher akases b'masnav, kes masnav literally means the slate, like the armor was by his loins, meaning he's ready to go out and do battle, responds saying, I have done as you have asked me. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ba'os ha'shal, Hotziu leGavriel meAchori haPargod. In that day, in that moment, they took Gavriel outside of the Pargod. Pargod means the curtain. So this idea of meAchori haPargod, the Pargod represents the curtain that divides the Kodesh Baruch Hu from everything else. But even in the celestial sphere, there is God is behind the Pargod, and the other celestial beings are on the other side of the Pargod. So what happens? they expelled Gavriel from behind the pargot. So they expelled Gavriel from the presence of God. Umachyuhu shisin pulse dinura. And they lashed him with literally 60 pulse dinura, 60 lashes of light. Whatever that means. Oh, they said, what does it mean? God is angry at Gavriel. Why is God angry at Gavriel? Because Gavriel disobeyed. Gavriel was just supposed to take the ashes, the coals. He wasn't supposed to have them handed to him. So what happens? The Gemara says, Ila, unrelated, they said to Gavriel, Ila avarata, lo avarata. Gavriel, you know what? Had you not gone to take the coals, so fine, no one would have faulted you because you didn't want to do something that would essentially cause the destruction of the Jewish people. However, Ia avarata, but now that you did it, Amai lo avarata, ki depak ducha, why didn't you do it as you were commanded to do? Va'od da avarata, lesloch in mashivin ala kalkala. Furthermore, after you did it, don't you know the principle that you don't report on bad news? The Mosai is very important to Sud. You know, the Gemara discusses, you know, to kind of some people like being on the, you know, on the first stop on the information super highway and like being able to relay every piece of information, good and bad. There's a concept of in mashivin ala kalkala. Don't be the bearer of bad news. Don't be the bearer of bad news. So they said to Michael, excuse me, they said to Gabriel, here it's not enough that you disobeyed, but then you came back and you said that you carried out the job, which indicated that you helped to destroy the city. So again, if you weren't going to do it, then don't do it. But if you were going to do it, then at least don't tell us about it. So the Gemara says, Asyuha l'dubiel sar de parsoi. So they kicked out Gavriel from the Achori HaPargot, from behind the curtain, and they allowed Dubiel, who is the ministering angel of Persia, to come and stay with God behind the Pargot. V'ukme b'charike. Vishimish Esrim Ve'echad Yom. And they went ahead and they established him. Rashi's Becharike is Mimkomo. So they gave Dubiel, the ministering angel of Persia, Gavriel spot. And I will say, you have to understand something. That's big stuff. That's big stuff, because what that means is that one of the nations of the ministering, one of the angels of the of, one of the ministering angels of the nations of the world now has a place of where an angel that was supportive of Klal Yisrael once stood. And the angel stood there for the Persian angel was there for 21 days. This is what, and remember, Daniel is seeing all of this. As Daniel said, that the ministering angel of Persia stood opposite me for 21 days. Vehine Michael Echad Hasarim Harishonim Bala Azrin. But Michael, who was one of the earliest angels, came to help me. Vani notarti sham. And I stayed there by the kings of Persia. Esrin v'chad malchi uparvusa dimashik. So I will say they gave Dubiel, the ministering angel of Persia, control over 21 kingdoms, as well as the port of Mashig. Okay, so the ministering angel Dubiel is becoming very powerful. Amar, first by line of Osai and Ayin Zayin Amudalev. Amar, so Dubiel said, Ksivuli. Give me a divine decree that the Jewish people will pay head tax to Persia. Which is another way of saying that Dubiel is asking, God, you decree that the Jewish people will be at least materially subservient to the kingdom of Persia. Kasvule, the God wrote that decree to Dubiel, and therefore again the Jewish people began to pay a head tax to Persia. Kasvuli Rabbanon Bakargo. Make sure the rabbis write for me another decree that says that the rabbis will pay the head tax. That also doesn't mean that the rabbis will pay the head tax. In many societies, so clergy was exempt from certain taxes. The truth is, this was true even in Egypt, where we know that again, Paro did not enslave Shevet Levi, because Paro himself had a respect for religion, and this is even before Levi was real religious leadership. So the Beal says, Kosh Baruch Hu, make a decree that even the rabbis will pay me the head tax. Kasvulei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it. Va'idna deba'u lemechtam. In the moment that God was about to sign the decree, Amad Gavriel me'achori ha'pargot. Remember, Gavriel, who's been exiled to the other side of the curtain, so he stands up and he says, Va'amar shav lochem mashkimei kum. Literally, woe to you, or nothing will come to you, those who get up early. Me'achori shavas ochle lechem ha'atzavim. Those of you, go ahead and eat the bread of sadness. So too he will give, or say no. he will give to his companion, say no. My cane liyidido, say no. What does it mean he will give to his friend, say no? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, elo nishosehen. Elo nishosehen. Excuse me, it's actually shena, not sena, excuse me. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, elo nishosehen shal tamidi chachamim. This refers to the wives of Torah scholars. Sheminadados shena ba'olam hazeh, who lose sleep in this world. And we'll say, why do the wives of Talmidei Chachamim lose sleep in this world? So there are two approaches to this. One possibility to this is they're waiting up late for their husbands to come home. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is they also realize the incredible burdens that their husbands bear. Mm-hmm. And their husband's distress ultimately keeps them awake. I think there's a third shot with it also, that the Talmidei Chachamim are often not around. And because they're not around, just many of the life responsibilities that would otherwise be shared within a regular couple often fall upon the wife. Either way, the Gemara says, so this is amazing. So Gabriel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you know, before you sell the Jewish people out, just remember, at least remember the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim. Remember, again, the Mesiras Nefesh of the women. And they lose sleep in this world. V'zochos the Olam Haba. And why? And they lose sleep in this world. They give up a lot in this world. Why? Because they know that whatever they're doing, ultimately, Emir Hashem will yield incredible benefit for them in the world to come. So the Gemara says, "Velo hishkichu alav." They paid no attention to Gavriel. Amar the fun of Ribono Shalom. So Gavriel's not finished. He says, "Listen, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, emu kol chachmei umas olam bekaf maznai. If all of the wise men of the nations of the world were on one side of the scale." V'Daniel ish chamudos, and Daniel the precious one, b'kaf shnia on the second side, leninsa machria es kulam, would Daniel not outweigh the rest of them? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mihu zeh shemelamed zichus albonai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who is the one who is trying to learn merit about my children? So in other words, first of all, this last argument seems to have convinced God. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, who is the one who is being melamed zichus on my children? Amru l'fan of Ribono Shel Olam Gavriel. And they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Gavriel. Gavriel is the one. Amru lahem yavo. So God said, let Gavriel come back me'achori ha'paragod. Let Gavriel come back to behind the curtain. So both say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing Gavriel back in. Shene emar va'ani basi libidvarecha. As the Pasuk says, I came back in as a result of your words. Amru lahem leo. So they said, bring back in Gavriel. They brought him in. Ailuhu. They brought Gavriel back in. This is Me'achoriya Pargo behind the curtain. Asa Ashkechei Ledubiel Dinokit Leili Igarte Biode. So it was like, when Gavriel walks in, so what happens? He sees Dubiel, who is the ministering angel of Persia. And what is he holding in his hand? He's holding in his hand that decree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Talmidei Chachamim de Rabbanon are going to pay the head tax to Persia. And what happens? Gavriel wanted to grab that decree from the hands of Dubiel. What happened? What did Dubiel do? Bala. Dubiel swallowed it. He swallowed it. Okay. Ike de Amri michtav havak siva. Michtav lo havi chasma. So some say, Shkoyach, he swallowed it. Only one problem. The decree was not signed. It was written, but it wasn't signed. Ike de Amri, others say, Af michtam nami havachasma. Others say, no, the decree was in fact signed. And then, kidebale machik le mine. But when he swallowed it, the divine signature was erased. Hainu, debamachusa de paras, ika de yoiv karga, vi ika de lo yoiv karga. And Rabbi said, the Gemara says, that's right, to this day. In the kingdom of Persia, some of the clergy pay head tax, some of the clergy don't pay head tax. The idea ultimately is that the decree itself was never fully solidified in Shamayim. But it's just also an amazing insight to the Gemara. Also, there are many things you see from this Gemara. One of the amazing things is that the events that occur on this world, God bless you, are very much a result ultimately of the gzeros that are signed and sealed above. Va'ani yotze v'hinei saryavan ba. So, amazing enough. So Daniel says, as I was taking leave, the ministering angel of Greece was coming in. Oi, oi, veleka da ashkech bay. And Daniel says, I cried out, oi, oi, and no one listened to me. It was because as bad as the Persian Empire was, Greece was even worse. And Daniel, right when Dubiel was kind of dealt with having Gabriel come in, then Lemaise, again, immediately afterwards, as he's leaving, the Malach of Yavon is coming in. So I will say now we're back to Halacha. So v'ipayisim rechitza the ikri inui minal. So we'll say remember we're trying to figure out. We've already established how many categories of inui are there. There are in fact five, right? Even though again there are six forms of affliction listed in the Mishnah, we established yesterday that shtiya bichlal achila, that drinking is in the category of eating, and therefore the ma'ase again they're considered one. So the Gemara now trying to learn out. Where we know each of these things is called the Nirvos. And again, remember, let's keep in mind the following. When the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, the operative phrase by Yom Kippur is V'inisem es nafsho seichem. You will afflict your souls. But the Torah doesn't tell us what that means. What does it mean to afflict your souls? So therefore, the Gemara does is the Gemara understands that we have to find other things that abstaining from them is called affliction. And those will be the very things that ultimately are Asra Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, for example, V'ba'yisema, rechitza, de'ikri inui minalan. Where do we know that rechitza, that washing, abstaining from washing, is called inui? Mehacha, from here, d'chsev, ule'ev yasar ha'koin amar ha'melech, anatot lech, al sadech, ki ish maves ato, u'bayom hazeh lo amisecha, ki nasasa es aron Hashem lifnei David avi, v'chi hisanesa, V'chol asher hisane amen. So we'll say this is when Shlomo HaMelech becomes king. One of the interesting things is that when David HaMelech is on his deathbed, he tells Shlomo to deal with certain problems. And Shlomo HaMelech, in his wisdom, deals with them quite fascinatingly. So one of the things he deals with is Evyasar. Evyasar was one of David HaMelech's right-hand men until the rebellion of Avshalom, where Evyasar chose to side with Shlomo HaMelech. Excuse me, with Avshalom, I'm sorry. So when David dies and Shlomo takes over, Shlomo says to Evyasar, I'm going to deal with you. Here's what's going to happen. Get out of town. I don't want to see you. I would kill you, but you carried the Ark of God and you suffer together with my father. And therefore, I'm just asking you, go to Anatot. We'll say you can go to Anatot today still. There's a Moshav Anatot right outside of, right, if you leave Yerushalayim through Pisgat Ze'ev, like on the way to Beit El, that's a beautiful Moshav. I don't know if that's the same as biblical Anatot, but it's right outside. It's actually a magnificent nature reserve. They're called Ein Prat. Ein Prat is there in Anatot, right? Okay, go to Anatot. Fine. So the Gemara says, V'chi yisanis v'chal sheres anadav. K'siv beib David. So we'll say, what the Gemara is going to pick up on is it says that you afflicted yourself just as my father David did. Now, what's the affliction? K'siv beib David, ki amru ha'am ro'av v'oyeh v'tzameh b'minbar. Because ultimately, David says that what? This is in Shmuel Aleph where David is on the run from Shaul. And what does it say? Kemra, Ra'av, we're hungry. Ayef, we're tired. Same, we're thirsty. Bamidbar. Ra'av, milechem. Ra'av means we have no bread. Same, we have no water. Ayef, mimai. Now, what is ayef? What does tired mean? So the Gemara says, Lav mi rechitza. Does it not mean from washing? I mean, I will say, again, remember, the Gemara for some reason feels that ayif can't mean tired. I think the simple reason that maybe from the biblical perspective is nobody really cares if you're tired. Right? Everybody's tired. We're all tired. So get over it. Move on. So it can't be that they're complaining. This is a rough and tough group of people. So it can't be that they're complaining that they need a nap. So what does it mean, ayif? So maybe it means that, again, they feel that they are bereft of rechitza. So the dilma mini ilas asakl. Maybe not. Maybe what it means is ayif means we don't have shoes, proper shoes. El Amr Rabbi Yitzchok. So the point the Gemara makes is you can't bring a ride from that pasuk. El Amr Rabbi Yitzchok mihacha mayim karim al nefesh ayefa. The pasuk says like cold water on a literally nefesh ayefa on a tired soul. Vidilma. So the Gemara says, what are we suggesting over here? That maybe this is the source ultimately for the issur rechitza. Vidilma mishtia. Who says that the water over there is talking about washing? Maybe ultimately the water over there is talking about drinking water. Because once again, the idea is that without the water, the nefesh becomes ayefa, which means without the water, without the washing, the soul becomes tired, which would indicate that abstaining from washing is an affliction. So Mara says, why do you say that water over here means washing? Maybe water over here means drinking. If you don't drink, nefesh ayefa. Miksiv b'nefesh ayefa. Does it say mayim karim, cold water, in a tired soul, which would seem to refer to the ingesting of water. It says, no, al nefesh hayepak siv. What does it say? On a tired soul, which would seem to indicate what Rabbi say. Where is the water going? The water is being applied externally and not being ingested internally. So therefore, the Gemara understands that this becomes the source for the fact that rechitza, or abstaining from rechitza, is inui. So once again, remember, the fact that the pasuk indicates that without the water on the soul is tired. The soul is tired indicates that the absence of washing, of rechitza, is an inui, is affliction, which then allows us to understand that it's one of the things that is prohibited on Yom Kippur. Next. And how do we know that wearing shoes on Yom Kippur is prohibited? Meaning that that abstaining from wearing shoes is called an inuin affliction. This is when David HaMelech is fleeing from Avshalom. David goes up and Ma'alezim. Ma'alezim is Har Hazesim. It's on the Mount of Olives. David's going up on Ma'alezim. Ola ubocha v'rosh lo chafui. So what happens? David HaMelech is going Ma'ale Hazeitim. He's going up. He's crying. His head is chafui. V'holich yachav yachav. V'holich yachav. And he's walking yachav. Now both say, the Gemara says yachav mimai. What does yachav mean? Lav min ilas asandol. So both say, literally yachav means bare. So what is he going bare? Bare. So b'pashtos, it means he doesn't have shoes. So what do you see from here? The fact that it says Varosh lo chafui, that he's in a state of disrepair, and part of that disrepair is that he doesn't have shoes, indicates to us that the absence of shoes is inui. So Mar says maybe not, but Dilma misusyo umiratko. Maybe what he's chafui of is his horse and his whip. And you will say, what does that mean? That David HaMelech, the king, rarely walked on foot. So when it says that he's chafui, it means that he has to walk as opposed to riding around on his horse with his whip. Lech. The pasuk says, and again, I both say this pasuk is from Yeshayahu. What does the Navi say? Leich, go, God says to the Navi, Leich upitachta hasak me'al masnecha, v'na'alcho tachlots me'al raglecha, v'ya'askein haloch arom v'yachiv. So both say, it's very interesting. God says to Navi Yeshayahu, in an effort to show Yeshayahu what the children of Israel are going to experience when they are exiled, he says to Yeshayahu, go ahead, take off your sackcloth from upon you, take off your shoes from on your feet. And Yeshayahu did so, and he walked arom. Arom literally means naked, v'yochef. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, v'yochef, yochef mimai. What does it mean he was yochef? Lav mini lasa sandal. It must be from shoes. So the Gemara, and therefore, what would you see from here? You would see from here that the absence of shoes is called an inui. Gemara says, but I, ve'ema b'mina alim hametulayim. Say maybe it's not without shoes. Maybe God was telling Yeshayahu to walk around with patched shoes. So the Gemara says, after all, if you don't say this, arom, arom, mamish, ele bebegodim beluim. We'll say when the Navi says that Yeshayahu was naked, it can't literally mean that he was naked. Rather, what does it mean? It means that he was walking around with patched clothing. Right? So too, hachanami b'mina alim hametulam. So too over here, let's say that when it says that he's barefoot, it's not literally barefoot, but rather what? Patched shoes. We learn it out from here. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Literally, mini ragleich miyachif, withhold your foot from being bare, the groneich mitzim'a, and your throat from being thirsty. So the Gemara says, mini, now we dash in that, mini atzmeich minachit, go ahead and abstain, hold yourself back from sin. In order that your feet shall not become bare. Also, the idea of bare feet, of walking barefoot, is symbolic of being exiled. Hold back your tongue from speaking idle things. In order that you don't make yourself thirsty. So, as I see the idea over here is, it seems to me that this is the pasuk that we're learning out that absence of shoes represents inui. So again, since the pasuk says mini raglech miyachev, hold back your feet from being barefoot, indicates that the act of being barefoot is symbolic of exile, which in and of itself is an affliction. So from here we see that one of the forms of inui on Yom Kippur is ne'ilas hasandal. Okay, so the Gemara goes, I will say again. Let me clarify one thing. The things that we know to be inui are halachos l'Moshe Mi Sinai. That we know them to be Sinaitic. What the Gemara is looking for is a proof test, a proof text, a biblical proof text to show that textually we see that these things are reckoned as imu. As well, the Gemara is not actually trying to learn out these concepts, because again, one thing you've clearly seen is these psukim are not like overwhelmingly obvious. They require a lot of tweaking, a lot of drushas. But again, we're just trying to find this, the biblical proof text to it. Tash mishamita de ikri inui minayim. How do we know that abstaining from relations is called inui, is called affliction? So Gemara says, dechsev, imtana espinosai, ve'imtikach nosh. So we'll say this is by Lavan and Yaakov Avinu. So when Yaakov and Lavan part ways at a place that Yaakov calls Galeid and Lavan calls Yigar Sa'adusa, in that moment, what happens? So Lavan says to Yaakov, if you go ahead and afflict my daughters, and if you take additional wives in addition to my daughters. So what does that mean? Amud Beis. Im ta'aneh mitashmish. What Lavan was saying to Yaakov is, make sure that you don't afflict my daughters. Rashi says, lahashbis onasan. Meaning, yes, you have two wives and two concubines, and you have conjugal obligations to them all. Do not afflict my daughters by not giving them the necessary intimacy. Then tikach, not general words that fathers send off their daughters with, but again, what Lavan was saying to Yaakov Avinu, he was making sure that Yaakov would take care of the needs of his family. Vim tikach mitzaros. And furthermore, again, the last piece where it says vim tikach noshim means Lavan was telling Yaakov, do not take any additional wives. Rashi says, hishbio kimashmo shlo Yosef lantzaros. Don't introduce any co-wives to my daughter. But why don't you say that maybe both parts of the pasuk, both refer to taking additional wives, meaning that maybe what Lavan was saying is, don't afflict my daughters, and how shouldn't you afflict my daughters? By taking additional wives. How do you know it's referring to two different things? That would have been fine if the pasuk would have said, im tikach noshim, right? Don't afflict my daughters when you take by taking additional wives. But it doesn't say that. Instead, what does it say? V'im tikach ksiv. Rabbi says v'im tikach means what? And if, which indicates that this is something separate than the idea being expressed in the first part of the pasuk. V'ema idi v'idi mitzvos. But still, you could say that both parts of the pasuk are referring as Laban telling Yaakov, do not go ahead and take additional wives. Chad litzoros didei. One is referring to their own co-wives, and one is referring to co-wives that would come from the world. And I would say, what does that mean? Remember, Rachel and Leah both come into the marriage with their own maidservants, Bilha and Zilpah, who had the status of pilakshos, they were concubines. So the two warnings could be to Yaakov, A, don't elevate the concubines to the status of full wives, number one, and number two, do not take any additional co-wives from anyone else. Dumyo di'im tikach. So the Gemara says, because again, and then the only issue with that is then the two phrases would be the same. Because then what Yaakov would love would be saying is, in Tana Espinosai, if you go and afflict my daughters by elevating their concubines to their maidservants to the status of full wives, in tikach noshim, and don't marry any additional women either. So the Gemara says, no, miksiv im tikach v'im tana. Excuse me, miksiv imtikach, does it say imtikach? So again, the Gemara gives the same answer, that it doesn't say imtikach. If it would have said imtikach, then I could have read both phrases as one unit. The fact that there's a vav in there indicates that what? That the imtikach is in fact its own entity. V'imtikach ksiv, omali rapapa labaye, hatashmish gufa nikra inoy. So we'll say, therefore, again, the pasuk from Yaakov and Lavan is not going to be necessarily a conclusive proof that abstaining from tashmish is called inui, because again we see that the pasuk itself is subject to dispute. How to darshan it? Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, so Rav Papa said Labaye, ha tashmish gufa ikra inui. The truth is tashmish itself is called affliction. Dichsiv vayishkav osa vayaneha. Rabbi say, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says this is by Shechem and Dinah. Shechem Adina says he slept with her and he afflicted her. So both says it's interesting. So Papa says Tabaye, that you see from here that Tashmish itself is called Inui. So Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Amalei hasam she'ina mibeos acheros. There he afflicted her from other bios. Now, what does that mean? I will say this is very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is mibios acheros shahaisa misavelo velo ba aleha baonasa biyamim shamdo etzlo. So we'll say first approach in Rashi is after Shechem raped Dinah. Remember that Dinah did not want to leave originally. Right? Gemara brings down that she was not ready to leave when Shimon and Levi wiped out Shechem. Why was she not ready to leave? I can't imagine it's because she had any great love for Shechem. But at the end of the day, you know, she was nervous that what future does she have with her family, right? She viewed herself probably as damaged goods, fortunately. So what's here? This guy, he says he loves me. He says he's going to take care of me. He has money. He has influence. You know what? Maybe like Stockholm syndrome, almost like, this identifying with one's abductor, one's captor. The point is she wasn't ready to leave. So according to Rashi, what's interesting over here is, but apparently after Shechem violated her, he lost interest in her, which is very interesting. So according to Rashi, She'ina mibia sacheros is that here again, Dina was ready to go ahead and live with him, and he would not live with her. He lost interest with her, and that was afflictive towards her. Other opinion, Rashi says, is that it refers to Bia Shalo Kidarko. That Vayishkav also refers to Bia Kidarko. Vayanea, he afflicted her as Bia Shalo Kidarko. Okay. So the Gemara says, therefore, you see from here the concept of Inui, ultimately mentioned in the context of Tashmish Amita. Fine. The Gemara goes weiter. Now, so remember, at this point in time, we have effectively shown the sources for the Inuyim. Remember, not the real sources, but again, the biblical, the scriptural allusions to all the different units. Now, everyone's going to get into some of the pertinent halachos. Very interesting halacha. On Yom Kippur, when there's a prohibition of washing, so the washing doesn't just apply to your whole body, but the washing applies to any one part of the body, like the whole body. However, so remember, so meaning I can't, it's not that I can't wash my body, I can't wash my face. I can't wash my hands. We'll see on Yom Kippur, you have to do even a more limited netilas yadayim. However, but let's say again, I get dirty. So we'll say, let's say mamish, a person is literally dirty. So tit means mortar, or soa means waste. So in that case, rochitz kedarko ve'inachoshesh. You could wash yourself normally, and you don't have to worry. The idea of also because the rechitza that is usher on Yom Kippur is what's called rechitza shel tanuk, rechitza of enjoyment. But if I have a cleanliness issue, I am absolutely permitted to go ahead and wash myself for that. Similarly, usher losuch miktas gufo, right, kichol gufo. You can't, usicha means anointing, smearing of oil. You can't put oil on your body. And just, you can't smear the oil on your body, on your whole body, or on part of your body. However, if a person was also, well, say, interestingly enough, one of the ways in which they used to, I think, treat certain forms of illness is application of warm oil. I think what it did is, maybe if a person had a fever, or I guess maybe chills, it would increase body heat. Oil itself has warmth, and I guess if you smeared on and it's warmed up, it could just bring up body temperature. So if a person is sick, osha hayulo chatatin borosho. The chatatin borosho literally means scabs on one's head. Now, what this means over here is some kind of scalp condition where the way that it was terribly uncomfortable, the way that you treated it was smearing of oil on your head. So again, in these cases, sach kedarko ve'inachoshi. You apply the oil and you need not worry. Again, so meaning if you need the oil for medicinal purposes, you're permitted to do that on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tana debei menasher. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Madicha isha yada achas b'mayim v'nosenes pas latinok. A woman could wash one of her hands on Yom Kippur in order to go ahead and give food to her children. Ve'ena chosheshes, and she need not be worried. She need not be worried. Let's look at Rashi. Madicha es yada l'fi sheruach ra shoreb ala lechem hanilkach b'yadayim shel nitlon shachris v'shem hashed shifta. So we'll say apparently again. Now, what's interesting about what the Gemara is doing is very interesting. The Gemara is assuming right now that Lemaisa, there wasn't a real Netilas Yadayim done in the morning. That's the Gemara is making the assumption. We'll discuss how to do Netilas Yadayim in Yom Kippur, but there was not a real Netilas Yadayim done in the morning. If that's the case, then remember one of the reasons we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning is why? Ruach Ra, spirit of impurity. The Gemara understands over here that it can be detrimental to someone if you handle food without removing the ruach ra from your hands. So the Gemara says a mother has to feed her child on Yom Kippur, obviously, but yes, she hasn't done real and fast time. So what could she do? She could fully wash one hand. I guess one hand would be enough for her to go ahead and do whatever she needs to do for her child to serve him the food. So she could wash fully that one hand, because Rashi actually says the ruach ra that affects food is called shifta. Called shifta. So what happens? Fine. And she doesn't have to worry. Inu chosheshes means she's not in violation of the halacha. Amru alav al Shammai hazokin. They said about Shammai the elder, shelo ratzel ha'achil biyado achas. He did not want to feed his child, meaning he did not want to wash his hands, even to feed his child on Yom Kippur. And what happened? The Gazra Alav, his fellow rabbinic peers, forced him. La'achil b'shtei yadayim. This is very interesting. So Shammai was reticent to wash his hand, even to take care of the needs of his child. Again, I guess he figured the kid's not going to go hungry. He'll figure it out himself. But his rabbinic peers forced him to wash both of his hands, meaning they were concerned. Lamai said this is not a good precedent. We do need parents actively taking care of their children, even on Yom Kippur, and it's okay to wash your hands to do so. Why? The Gemara says, my time. What's the concern over here? Shifta. So also we saw in Rashi before that shifta is this ruach ra, is this spirit of impurity. Actually, Rashi calls it a shade. Rashi calls it a demon that ultimately comes upon food that was handled with unwashed hands. Tan Rabbanan, haholich lahakbil pnei aviv o pnei rabbo. I will say, if somebody goes to meet their father or their rebbe, o pnei misha gadol mimenu, or someone who's greater than them. So I will say again, I want to go there. I want to go to see my rebbe or to go to see my father on Yom Kippur. I will say, it's actually very interesting, by the way, that there's a concept of going to see your rebbe. On the regalim. Now, what's interesting is Yom Kippur. Now, obviously, the regalim are Sukkis Shavuot, or I should say Pesach Shavuot Sukkis. Yom Kippur has a very interesting status because, in certain ways, Yom Kippur is also considered to be a regal in many ways. For example, it bless you. For example, interestingly enough, the same way that regalim cancel out Shiva and Shloshim, so does Yom Kippur. I don't know if the Gemara is seeing over here that people actively had the minog to go be mekabel pnei rabo on Yom Kippur, or the Gemara just talking about a happenstance case. But either way, a person is going to see his Rebbe or to see his father, to see someone that's greater than him. What's the problem? The problem, however, is to get to my Rebbe, I have to cross a river. Of course, I will say, obviously, crossing a river means submersing myself in water. So the shaila is, can I do this on Yom Kippur or not? So the Gemara says, over at Savaro, you can go until your neck, ve'eino choshish, and you need not worry about anything. Iboy luhu. Iboy luhu. We'll say again, what's the logic over here? The logic would seem to be that lemaisa eino choshish, Rashi says, mishum rechitza. Because again, my intent is not to wash. My intent is to be able to get from one side to the other. Therefore, this is not called rechitza, and therefore it's permitted. So the Gemara says, iboy luhu. The Gemara asks the question, Harav etel Talmud Mai. What happens, however, if instead of the Talmud going to see the Rebbe wants to see the Talmud. The Rebbe wants to see the Talmud. So is the Rebbe permitted to go ahead and cross the body of water to go and see his Talmud? I will say now, again, you could say there's certainly benefit in that. Why is there benefit in that? Because if I get to go see my Talmud, then what? I can teach him Torah. So the Gemara says, Mai, what's that halacha? Tashma, Dom Rav Yitzchak Bar Bar Chana. Rav Yitzchak Bar Bar Chana said, Ani chazise lezi'iri. I once saw Ziri who went to go visit his student, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. And apparently, again, Ziri had to cross a body of water to do so. They said, Hahu Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, the Ozel Gabi, the Ziri Rabbe. So they said to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Barachani, you got the story wrong. It wasn't Ziri who went to Rabbi Chiya, but rather it was Rabbi Chiya who went to Ziri. It was a story of the student going to see the Rebbe, which you've already established is the Maisa. Okay. Rava Shari Libne Avar Yemina, Lime Avar Bemailin Turiperi. Rava allowed the residents of Avar Yemina to cross a body of water to watch over their fruit. Now I will say, here's what's interesting, that apparently the people of Avar Yemina had fields on the other side of the river. And there was a concern that if they were not present, I guess at a certain time during the day, there could be a loss. So Rava allowed them to cross the river on Yom Kippur to go and watch over their fields. So you see, again, another example of why did Rava allow that? Because he felt that the act of crossing the river, even not necessarily for a mitzvah purpose, but here it's ordered to prevent a loss, was not called rechitza. Amalei Abaye the Rava. Sabai said to Rava, there's a brisa that supports this position. What's the brisa? Shomrei peros, those who have to watch over fruit, over and at savarn b'mais also, which means those who have to watch over fields are permitted to go ahead and cross bodies of water and even go until their necks in water. Vein choshishin, and there is no ein choshim means also, and this is not called rechitza on Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef, shari lehu bar tarbu. So also this is very interesting. Rav Yosef permitted the people of Beit Harbo, that's the name of the city, to cross the river to come to the shir. To come to the shir. So also this, look at Rashi for just a moment. Beit Harbo, Rashi is Shema Kfar, that's the name of the city. Lepirka, Shayu Darshan Biyam Kippurim. So also, so what happens? I guess they had a break. Right during the day. So what happened? So the Rav was giving the shir, and the people and Rava, not Rava, excuse me, Rav Yosef, allowed the townspeople to cross the river in order to go to hear the shir. Okay. However, lemezal lo sharlo, but he only allowed them to cross the river to get to the shir, but he did not allow them to cross the river to come back home. So lemaisa they were able to go, but they had to wait until after Yom Tov to go ahead and come back. Amar Abaye. By said to Rav Yosef, "Im kein atamach shilin la'asad lava." Rav said, "If that's the case, then what? If that's the case, then you are placing a stumbling block in front of them for the future." Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. La'asad lava, l'shana acheres lo yavo'u, hor v'lo hitarta la'avar samayim lachzar. Rav said, "So what's going to happen? If you don't let them come home, then what? Then l'maisa next year." They're not going to come. Because again, it's nice to come to the shir, but I don't want to spend the rest of the day sitting in the base medrash. Who wants to do that? Right? So again, I want to come back home. If you don't let them come back home, they're not going to go. Well, so just so you should know, interestingly enough, Ikadamri, well, let's read. Ikadamri, others say no. Sharluhu lemezel, that Rav Yosef allowed them to go. Visharluhu, excuse me, lemesi, visharluhu lemezel. That in fact Rav Yosef allowed them to go, meaning to go to the shir, and Rav Yosef allowed them to come back. And I will say that in fact is codified halacha lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch, that they're permitted to cross the in Yom Kippur, they're permitted to go across the body of water, to go to the shir, to go to see your Rebbe, because it's not called Rechitza, you're permitted to come back as well. I will say it's very important yisod. This is the cornerstone. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva by Hatzalah. By Hatzalah, it's Dafka by Hatzalah, not by volunteers, not by paid professionals. That they asked Rav Moshe if the Hatzalah members are permitted to come back after Shabbos, excuse me, after a call on Shabbos. Rav Moshe Paskin, yes, because by volunteers, if you don't let them come home, they won't field the call. People are willing to do chesed, but they want to be able to come home. That's the chilik between paid professionals and volunteers. See, paid professionals will do what they have to do because they're getting a salary to do it. So this heter of they won't go back out again does not apply to, let's say, a doctor or to people who receive a parnasa, but volunteers who, if they do not answer, if they can't come home, could very easily just say, this is not my job. Halacha l'maaseh Moshe Paskin, that they could come back home after the call as well. Again, a much more intricate and complicated shaila, but not for today. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Bishlama l'maaseh l'chaye. I'm sorry, I didn't finish the answer. Abaye said, I understand why they're permitted to go and cross the water to go, but why are they permitted to come back? In order that what? In order that you not place a stumbling block before them going forward. Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, havukaimi aguda dinar. So Rav Yehuda v'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda were standing on the bank of the river. What happened? Amavro dichatzdat. And they were standing by the crossing, the Chatzdat crossing. Okay. V'hava koi Rami bar Papa mehach gisa. Rami bar Papa was standing on the other side of the river. Ramaluhu kala. He raised his voice and he said, "Mahu lemi avil lemesal gabaychu." So we'll say Rami bar Papa called out to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda and Rav Yehuda, and what happened? And he said, "Can I come over to you guys? Right? I want to learn from you. Can I come over to you?" So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda." Excuse me, I'm sorry. Rabbi called Malo Amalei Mesigavaihu leMishol Shmaita. Can I kind of cross the river to come over to you to learn something, to learn from you, to ask you some questions in my learning? Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Ushmol Darmi Tarvaihu. Over. Yes, you can come. You can cross the river. However, Obilvad Shelo Yotzi Yado Mitachas Chafetz Chaluko. With the exception of what? You can't raise your hand underneath your garment. I will say now, what does that mean? What he was saying is you have to walk in your clothing, meaning you can't go ahead and lift up your tunic in a way that looks like you're draping it over your arm. Why? Because that has the appearance of carrying your clothing. So you could walk, but you have to walk in a normal fashion. Your clothing is going to be wet, and you can't drape it over your arm for fear that people will think that you're carrying the garment. Ika da Amri, others say, Amalei Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Tanina over ubilvad shelo yotzi mitachas yado chefes chaluko. Okay, so we'll say same yisod. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says mitachas chafes or chefes svas chaluko lag bio shulei chaluko azra. Oh, you can't lift up the hem or the bottom of your garment on your arm. The eno nira kemalbush elokinosi al kasifo, because then it no longer looks like an article of clothing, but rather looks like you're transporting it. Va'amar hayotzi betalis mikupeles al kasifo b'shabes chayiv chatas. So we'll say if you walk out carrying an article of clothing, lemaisikin you are chayiv for that on Shabbos. Remember, the only heter is to wear your clothing. So therefore, they said to him, you could cross, but you can't drape your clothing over your arm. So the Gemara goes like, maskif le Rav Yosef. Ubechol ki agav nivishan. I will say, here's something very interesting. Rav Yosef comes along and says, so you're telling me now that on Yom Kippur, if I have a necessary purpose is going to see my Rebbe, going to see my father, going to see someone greater than me, going to the shir, checking on my food, checking on my fields, that I can walk into water up to my neck. So the Gemara says, but during the week, are you permitted to enter into a body of water up until your neck? The haksib, but the pasuk says, I will say what the Gemara is saying over here is that walking into water up to your neck could be very dangerous. So are you permitted to engage in a dangerous activity even during the week? Forget about Yom Kippur. V'hoksiv, I will say the Gemara quotes a very interesting series of psukim from Yechezkel. Again, this is another vision of Yechezkel. Vayomad elef ba'amal, vayavireni b'mayim me'afasim. I will say the vision of Yechezkel includes a stream. This stream begins or emanates from the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and extends all the way out of Yerushalayim. And what Yechezkel saw was that the stream grew in size as it left Yerushalayim. So for example, he says, we measured out 1,000 amos, and he took me across the stream, me'afasim. Me'afasim also means that the stream was ankle deep. Remember, we actually saw this earlier, that the stream by the Kodesh HaKadoshim was so thin, it was like the antenna of grasshoppers. That was by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then it got gradually wider. So by the time that it left the Beis HaMikdash, it was ankle deep already. Mikan shemotu la'avor adaf sayim. So from here we see that you are permitted to go ahead and cross a stream that is ankle deep. Vayamad elef, we measured out another 1,000 amos. Vayabirinu b'mayim b'rkayim. Right? And then what happened? And then we measured out a little bit more, and it was now up to my thighs. Mikan shemutu la'avor ad birkayim. From here we see that you could walk into water up until your thighs. Vayomad elef, we measured another. This is again, remember, the Malach is taking Yechezkel to the different parts of the stream. The stream is continuously going. So we measured out another 1,000 amos. Vayomad elef, vayavireni me masnayim. The water went up to my waist. Mikan Shemutur la'avor ad masnayim. From here we see that you can walk into water up until your waist. Mikan ve'elech, but from this point on and forward, vayamad elef nachal asher lu'uchal la'avor. From here Yechezkel says, after this point, the stream became a stream that I could not cross. Now, both sides. So the Gemara is suggesting over here is you see that Yechezkel is saying, don't try to cross a stream that's more than waist high. And yet here the Gemara is talking about going into water that's up to your neck. Amar Abaye says, shiny nachal. No. A stream is different. Why? Diridifi maya. Because ultimately, redifa maya means the water flows swiftly. So the Cheska was saying is, into swiftly flowing water. I'll say it's true, meaning if you ever try, if you ever, you know, walk across a river, you could have a river that is relatively shallow, but if the current is strong, it's very hard to cross it. So the Maise again, Yechezkel said, if it's swiftly flowing water, not until your waist. It could be the Gemara's talking about standing water, when it talks about, again, walking until your neck. Nachal diridifi, maya lo yachal yavirenu. So the Gemara says, yachal yavirenu b'sichui. Maybe you could cross it by swimming. Tamad lomar, Kigo'u hamayim meisachu. Literally, the water swelled meisachu. What does that mean? My meisachu. Shiyuta. It refers to swimming. Shekin l'shaita, shekin korin l'shaita seicha. So also what Yechezkel was saying is the water was so swift. That what? You couldn't even cross it by swimming. Maybe you think that you could cross it by taking a small boat. Talmud Lomar, Baltelech Bo Ani Shayot. So therefore, again, what does the Navi say? You can't even get across through it, even with a small boat. Yochol Ya'aviruni Biborni Kidola. Maybe you can get across it with a large boat. Talmud Lomar, Vitsi Adir Lo Ya'avirenu. So it's like, so here's what's interesting. So the Gemara quoted two psukim just now. You can't walk through it, Ba'ani Shayot, and Tsi Adir can't get across. What do these phrases mean? Kidimatagim Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef said, Lo Tezil Bey, Vesvinas Tsayodin, Ubebarne Rabose, So what does it mean? It means that you can't get across it with a small fishing boat, and you can't get across it even with a large boat as well. Even the Malach HaMavis can't get across this river. How so? It says over here that I can't get across it. I can't get across it either by swimming or even by a small boat. Uksiv Hasim, and it says by the Malach HaMavis, Mashut Ba'aretz, that the Malach HaMavis literally flutters around the world. So the idea is the Shot, Shayit, that just like I couldn't get across from it by Shayit, by swimming or by taking the boat, so to the Malach HaMavis, who flutters everywhere, flies everywhere, also can't get across this body of water as well. All right, so we'll stop over here. Actually, let me read you one more line. Amar Rav Pinchas, Mishum Rav Huna, as I mentioned before, this is now describing the stream in Yechezkel's vision. Rav Pinchas, he says in the name of Rav Huna, Sipora me'ein hayotze mi'beis kodesh kadoshim, betchila dome lekarni chagavim. Actually, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up a Emirat Hashem with this tomorrow. I'm giving the daf tomorrow morning, but we're gonna start at 8:15. Still a Emirat Hashem tomorrow morning. 8:15.
So I was told way back when I got to Shiloh.